Hello listeners, I'm your speaker Casey and this is The Cult Vault. Now I apologise if you've listened to my recent episode on Seedu which I released on the 25th of July. I have gone back and made a lot of changes to that episode and I've also split the episode into two parts. This episode today was originally part of the first Seedu episode that I released, but upon speaking to survivors of Seedu, they thought it best to focus on Seedu in part 1 and then go into the details of tangents born from Synanon and Seedu in part 2. So here it is. Again, if you've listened to the episode as it was originally released, you will have heard this information already. But if you are listening for the first time, this is a short episode about the almost denominations that came from the Synanon cult and subsequent Seedu operation. If you haven't listened to part 1 or the episode on Synanon, I suggest quickly going back and having a listen so we can all start this journey on the same page. The next episode, we will have Seedu survivors speaking about their experiences. Synanon was responsible for Seedu, but Seedu birthed its own monster. I found a flowchart that explains exactly how the roots of Synanon grabbed a hold of America and spawned the so-called troubled teen industry. Synanon, 1958 to 1991, pioneered the use of harsh behaviour modification techniques. From this, Daytop was formed. From 1963 and still ongoing today, it is an anti-drug programme with teen units. The founder allegedly saw possibilities in Synanon. From Daytop, the Elan School was formed from 1970 and also is still present today. There is a website called elan.school which contains a graphic novel called Joe vs. Elan School, where Joe depicts his life in Elan, which basically mirrors Seedu. It starts with the middle of the night kidnapping, where Joe is woken and forced into a car to be taken to the school. I wonder if this was carried out by Bill Lane Associates and his troubled teen transport service. I reached out to Joe, but he apologised, saying that he was too busy to come and interview with me, but he encouraged me to reference his work. From Synanon, Phoenix House was also spawned, from 1967, and is still going today with 100 sites in 9 states, including residential academies for teens. From this, the seed opened from 1970 until 2001. Investigators likened its methods to brainwashing in 1974. But from the seed, Straight Ink was born. From 1976 until 1993, Nancy Reagan's favourite anti-drug programme. It eventually closed because of abuse lawsuits. Again though, from Straight Ink, Kids Ink and Family Pathway Centre opened. Kids Inc. from 1984 until 1998 paid out $10 million in child abuse settlements, whilst Pathway Family Centre was founded by Straight Inc. staff, even though Straight Inc. was closed down after abuse cases. Also from Synanon, boot camps opened. Synanon opened the first teen boot camp in the mid-70s. Nearly 100 boot camps for young offenders launched in the 80s and 90s. Also from Synanon, wilderness programs were created. The first wilderness program for troubled teens started in 1946. Several included Challenger, Summit Quest, and North Star Expedition, which have closed in the wake of kids' deaths. Christian programs were also born. Tough love with a religious twist. This includes New Horizons, Youth Ministries and Love in Action, which I actually spoke about in my Conversion Therapy History episode. These models use the Straight Ink model to, quote, cure gay teens. Behaviourist programmes are also now a tangent of Synanon, along with Worldwide Association of Speciality Programmes, which is currently being sued for abuse by former residents. Going back to Conversion Therapy Camp, in the Vice documentary, We Went to Gay Conversion Therapy Camp, you can see staff using scream therapy with their chairs lined out in semicircles, and then afterwards they cuddle with each other, almost like a rap followed by smushing. The discredited practice of trying to change the gender identity or sexuality of a person which often targets under-18s, is covered in this episode. Again, this industry is profiting off of the backs and abuse of kids. I even recently read an article on a phenomenon known as attachment therapy, where one young girl lost her life. TheGuardian.com released a 2001 article that reads, "The Therapy That Killed." Imagine four adults whose combined weight is nearly 10 times your own, wrapping you in a blanket and sitting on you. It is a controversial therapy called rebirthing, used in the US to treat children with behavioural problems. Only now, one of those children has died, suffocated despite her screams for help. Audrey Gillen reports from Washington. Wednesday, 20th of June, 2001. Candice Elizabeth Newmaker seemed like an average 10-year-old girl, all blue eyes, freckles and curly brown hair. Before she became a Newmaker, she had been Candice Tiara Elmore, daughter of a teenage mother and violent father, and resident of a number of different ramshackle homes and trailers in a North Carolina backwater. Her adoption at the age of 5 by Jean Newmaker, a 14-year-old unmarried nurse, was supposed to change not only her name, but her life. It was supposed to provide her life with the certainty that a fragile mother and 6 different foster homes never could. At first, it did. Candice got the pink bicycle, the riding, swimming and gym lessons, the ice skating and slumber parties, but her adoption would also lead to her death. Candice was suffocated in a bizarre process known as rebirthing that costs around £5,000. Wrapped up in a blanket meant to represent a womb, the little girl was sat on by 4 adults until she could no longer breathe. She screamed for oxygen and told them she was dying, and the whole terrible procedure was watched by her new mum. On April 20th, 2 unlicensed therapists, Connell Watkins and Julie Ponder, were found guilty of reckless child abuse resulting in death. On Monday, a judge sentenced them to 16 years in prison, the minimum sentence they could have received. Newmaker and the 2 assistants present during the little girl's ordeal are scheduled to go on trial later this year. Her birth parents had called her Candice because they heard the name on television, and Tiara because she was a jewel. But Newmaker says Candice was no gem, no average 10-year-old. She said the child had psychological problems so advanced that she started a fire in her own home, regularly flew into hour-long rages, and once sexually assaulted 2 children. She confided in friends that Candice was a handful and assaultive, and told the court, "I thought she was deteriorating before my very eyes. I was not prepared for the level of dysfunction I saw in Candice." She says that Candice became extremely defensive at home, extremely negative, and once pulled down a floor-to-ceiling bookcase, smashing Newmaker's beloved glass horses. Teachers remember a different child, one who was not badly behaved, but Newmaker felt Candice was so behaviourally disordered that she first put her on mood-altering drugs, then turned to a controversial therapy, believing Candice suffered from reactive attachment disorder, known as RAD, an increasingly popular diagnosis of extreme behaviour in children which is said to affect thousands of adoptive families. The condition has divided the scientific and therapeutic communities and has sparked this question: is the syndrome being used as an excuse for bad parenting, or is it a little understood but growing phenomenon? Those who believe RAD exists, and many in the US do, claim that affected children cannot bond with their parents, that often they steal, lie, torture pets, hit their parents, hit themselves, and lapse into extreme rages. With rebirthing, the idea is to turn back the clock and allow the child to bond. A kind of holding therapy, it involves a child lying across the laps of, or being contained by, parents or therapists or both. Often the child becomes angry, and this is when the therapists tighten their grip. The aim is to show the children that someone can control them and that they can feel safe at the same time. Newmaker said, I knew it was provocative therapy. I thought it was our only chance." The unofficial home of attachment therapists is the mountainside town of Evergreen, Colorado. It was here that Candice was taken in April 2000 in a desperate attempt to control her behaviour. After a 2-week course, she would be reborn, While there, she was subjected to a three-hour session of rebirthing during which she was told to imagine yourself as a teeny baby inside your mother's womb and what it felt like. A videotape of the session shows Candace telling the adults in the room that she had a vague memory of being dropped from a window two flights up, that she had a nightmare last night in which she was murdered by her mother. She says she wants to feel safe. The little girl was told to scream and cry like a baby and wriggle out of the blanket and away from the people lying on top of her. They said, "You're going to go through the birth canal," and promised, "While you are in the womb, you'll have plenty of air to breathe." The four adults, weighing a total of 673 pounds against Candace's 70, began to apply pressure. In the video, Candace is heard to say, "Whoever is pushing on my head, it's not helping." Later she says, "I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't breathe, I can't breathe." A minute later, the child says she was going to die. She screams, "Please, please stop pushing. I can't breathe. Okay, I'm dying. I'm sorry." At this point, the therapist shouts, "You want to die? Okay, then die. Go ahead, die right now." 20 minutes later, still begging for help, Candace says, "Please, you said you would give me some oxygen, and I'm throwing up. I just threw up. I've got to poop. I've got to poop." Still, the adults keep going, calling her a quitter and a twerp, telling her that she gets to be stuck in her own puke and poop. Finally, they ask Candace if she wants to be reborn. "No," she says, it is the last word she ever utters. When the blanket is removed, Candace is blue. After a night on life support at a children's hospital, the little girl who had dreamed of being murdered dies from brainstem herniation and cerebral edema, brought on by mechanical asphyxiation. 11 times she had told the adults that she was going to die. In a statement in court, Connell Watkins said Candace's death is a tragedy and so is her life. "I think of her story as being an American tragedy because there are thousands of children in this country today who have suffered trauma during their first 2 years of life. They will also be misdiagnosed and mistreated and ineffectively treated for years. Many of them, if they're lucky, will be adopted by loving parents, much like Jean Newmaker, and they will devote all their resources and all their energies to help heal their children from the emotional and behavioural problems that they didn't create, and when and if they fail, they will be blamed." Candace is the only child to have died during rebirthing, but attachment disorder has featured as a defence in a number of recent trials. In 1997, Renee Paul Reese was sentenced to 22 years in prison for the death of her adopted son, David. She argued that he was not beaten to death with a wooden spoon, but suffered from RAD, which made him impossible to control and caused him to mutilate himself. Joseph and Heather Chambroni claimed that RAD led to the death in 1995 of their adopted son, Lucas, who was covered in more than 200 bruises when he was taken to hospital. They too said the wounds were self-inflicted. Joseph was sentenced to life imprisonment. Heather will go on trial later this summer and will plead insanity. RAD first appeared as a recognised psychiatric disorder in 1980 and is defined by the American Psychiatric Association as markedly disturbed and developmentally inappropriate social relatedness. While most researchers acknowledge that the syndrome exists, many argue that it's overdiagnosed and has led to the emergence of an entire industry of profit-motivated therapists with unproven treatments. Thais Tepper of the Parent Network for the Post-Institutionalized Child believes RAD exists but says rebirthing is not the way to cope with it. "There is no basis in science for this treatment. How can screaming at a 10-year-old and torturing her until she accepts another woman as her mother really forge any kind of bond?" Candace will now be remembered by Candace's Law, which outlaws rebirthing as a treatment in the state of Colorado. Back in a trailer at the end of a muddy lane in Hickory, North Carolina, Candace's real mother, Angie, who has 5 other children, says, "They smothered her. That was my daughter. How did she die from a blanket? Isn't that why they say don't put pillows on babies? Don't put bags by them. It's stupid. It's stupid. You don't put a child under a pillow and push it on her." Talking about attachment therapy is not relevant because CDU practiced attack therapy, but it is just one bizarre example of therapy that has come from these behavioural programmes. This is where we are going to leave today's episode, but we have something very special lined up for you next time, when a survivor of CDU will be telling us their very private story. If you've been affected by anything that you've heard today, there will be links in the show notes to some support for troubled teen industry survivors. To get in touch, email me on cultvaultpodcast@gmail.com, or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at cultvaultpod. I'm your speaker, Casey, and this has been The Cult Vault.